chapter 13 to be starting out with. So if you want to go ahead and be turning there, we're going to be kind of going through a few chapters there with our sermon tonight. It's good to see all of you here. It's a good way to start off the new year. We have a new year, new theme, sharing our faith. There's so many topics we're going to discuss this year. Mike and Randy presented the topic of evangelism to me, and then on Wednesday they said, we're the official theme, sharing our faith. We'll kind of let you decide where you want to go. And I said, man, ideas already just started coming in. So I think there's going to be a lot of great things we're going to be able to cover this year with this new topic. We spent the last couple of years, well, you have, I haven't been here with you, but you spent the last couple of years focusing inward, building yourselves up, building the people up around you in this congregation. Now it's time, and the elders feel it's time, to turn our sights outwards, to share the gospel, to share the faith, to not stop building each other up. As we'll look at with many topics, sharing our faith doesn't just include the people outside of these walls, but we share our faith with one another on a daily basis as well. And so there's many things that we'll be going over this year. I'm excited. I will say that if we're going to be successful in spreading the gospel this year and for years to come, it starts with everybody. It starts with everybody being on the same page about Jesus and about the gospel, everybody being excited, everybody wanting to share, having the urge and the itch to share the gospel with the world around us, and it starts with all of us. It doesn't belong on the elders, it doesn't belong on me, the evangelist, it belongs on us as Christians. And so I'm excited for this year, because we're going to spread the gospel, hopefully in the community. We're already spreading it in the world, if you look at the map in the back, and it's just an exciting time to be a Christian. If you're like me, or many of you know this about me, I love movies. I love all kinds of movies. And there's one specifically that my mom doesn't quite understand. She doesn't like these kinds of movies. But Lord of the Rings. Some of you are fans of the Lord of the Rings and the books, and they were turned into movies. And if you don't know anything about those movies, it's okay. But something I like about those movies are there's about four or five different plots going on all at the same time. And somehow they're all kind of intertwined together, and at the very end they all kind of come to one full head of steam. And then they all kind of conclude over the three movies, they all conclude with the last one. I love movies like that because it keeps me guessing and it helps me. I love the guessing game and I love following all the different trails. And you know, the Gospel of John is kind of like that. The Gospel of John has a couple different storylines going on throughout the pages of this Gospel. At first glance, we understand it's a Gospel of Jesus. It's telling the story of Jesus. But there's another character that I think is intertwined throughout that entire gospel, and there's a story of another character in that gospel that we can just learn so much from. And I want to focus on him tonight, and it's the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter has seen a lot in that gospel. Many stories, he has a lot of different parts he plays, I guess, if we want to call it that, in the Gospel of John. But Peter is an unusual character. We all know and love Peter. We all know the famous stories of Peter walking on the water. We know the story of his call to apostleship. He was just a plain fisherman. And Jesus calls him and they were going to make him and his brother fishers of men. We all know the great story when Peter affirms his faith in Jesus Christ. And it was Jesus that says, upon this rock I will build my church. Sometimes we scold Peter for his quick and harsh judgments on certain situations and topics, and sometimes we raise him up and highly exalt him because he seems to be one of the greater of the apostles, if we can put views on him like that. I know Jesus didn't, but that's just how we picture him, because it's the Apostle Peter, and he was just a great, great man. And his story is just kind of intertwined throughout the story of Jesus here in the book of John. And I want to look at specifically the later part of his story in the Gospel of John and make a few points from it this morning as we look and we get into this idea of sharing our faith. I think when we start looking at this idea of evangelism, that word scares people. The word evangelism is normally pegged onto the evangelist. And they think that's his job and his responsibility. And that's one of the responsibilities of the evangelist. But we all have the command to go out and to teach all the nations and to evangelize other people. But when we hear that word evangelism, it scares us off a bit. Have you ever thought about why? Well, I might have to go talk to someone. Well, I might have to put myself out there and I might be rejected. Well, I might have to put myself in an uncomfortable situation and I don't really want to do that. I like my comfort zone. I like my bubble. I like what I'm doing now. And probably the biggest reason it scares people off is people will say, I don't know how to evangelize. Or you'll get the excuse, I'm not even capable. I'm not worthy to go and teach the gospel. And it scares a lot of people off to think that we as Christians have that responsibility. I want to look at Peter tonight with the key point of seeing exactly how Peter was just like us. I think he was just like us during his life, during his story here on earth. He was a normal man we looked at, or I mentioned just a moment ago, held a normal job. He had a family later on in his epistle to the churches in Asia Minor. He referred to himself as an elder, which suggested that he had a wife and a family. He was a normal man. But yet he was called to do something extraordinary. He was called by Jesus himself to come and follow him. He was called to teach the gospel. And as we know about Peter, and as we'll see here in the later part of his life, Peter messed up time and time and time again. It almost just seems like right when we can applaud Peter for his great work, we're almost, again, scolding him for opening his mouth too quickly. But I want to see how he was able to overcome those things and how we can overcome those things as normal people in this world and do extraordinary things to share our faith with the world around us. We're going to start where we started our adult class this last quarter now. We just started a new quarter in John 13. And we see Peter here. What we see is Jesus getting ready to wash the feet of all of his apostles. And start reading with me in verse 3. It says there in John 13, verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will after this. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. Here again might be one of those times where we want to applaud Peter. If there's anything we can say about Peter, Peter was a passionate, passionate man. I think he understood exactly who the Lord was. He was this coming Messiah. He says, You are the Son of God. Peter understood that. And he understood that he was the servant to Jesus. That's why Jesus should have no part in washing his feet. But as soon as Jesus says, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me, Peter spoke up. He says, Well, then don't just wash my feet. Wash my hands and wash my head. I want more. Because I'm your servant. If you have to wash me so I can be a part of you, then you wash all of me. And his passion is undeniable for the Lord. And later on, after Jesus in verse 32 of the same chapter talks about being glorified in God, it was Peter in verse 36 who said to Jesus, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. And Peter said, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Again, Peter here is so passionate, so bold for the Lord that he is willing to lay down his life for the Lord. But what we know about Peter is, in his mind, this is all just a worldly kingdom. This is something that he could fight for. This is something that he could die for. This is something that he was so passionate about, he would lay down his life. But it was Jesus there, the next verse in verse 38, that says, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." Imagine how Peter feels now at this point. That he was the apostle that spoke up while Jesus was washing the feet, and he wanted more. And he just told the Lord, he goes, "I want to go with you. I will fight for you. I will die for you, Lord." And Jesus says, "Really? Will you? Because I'm telling you that before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Imagine his thoughts. Imagine his feelings. As we move on into chapter 16, the apostles still thought they understood exactly what Jesus was talking about, saying in verse 29 that he was speaking plainly. They still thought they understood that Jesus was coming to establish a kingdom here on earth, and that they were so passionate about this. But it's when Jesus went to the garden to pray that their ideas and their thoughts begin to shatter and begin to crumble. Peter began doubting himself. Peter began doubting his Lord. Jesus knelt in the garden and prayed. And as he was praying, read with me in John 18, starting in verse 1. It says, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, and where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to him, 'Whom are you seeking?' They answered him, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus said to him, 'I am he.' And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, 'Whom are you seeking?' And they said, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus answered, 'I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way.' That the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.' Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup with my Father that my Father has given me?'" Put yourself in the apostles' shoes, watching their Lord be arrested. Watching this Messiah who was supposed to be the Son of God, who was supposed to establish this kingdom here on earth, imagine him being arrested. It says a detachment or a cohort or attachment there in verse 3 came out with Jesus. That was typically around 200 to 600 Roman soldiers, along with priests and Pharisees. The apostles and Jesus were outnumbered, but look who it was that was still willing to fight. Peter. Peter drew his sword and he cut off the ear of Malchus, and he still thinks that I will lay down my life for my Lord. That I will fight this war that is about to start, and I will lay down my life. He was willing to physically fight. He still sees an earthly kingdom. But it was that night that he saw his Savior and his Lord carried away in arrest. Peter starts thinking, is this the man? Is this really who he says he is? And then we get into his denials. In chapter 18, still, verse 15, it says, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest, and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was with, but Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "No, I am not." Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now, before I go on, remember that word, those words, warming himself by a coal fire. I think Jesus plays a little game with Peter later on in just a few chapters, but remember that coal fire there at his first denial, denying his Lord, denying that he even knew this Jesus. But skip down with me to verse 25. Where it says, "Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, 'You are not also one of his disciples, are you?' And he denied it and he said, 'I am not.' One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, 'Did I not see you in the garden with him?' Peter then denied again. And immediately a rooster crowed." The rooster would have immediately brought back memories of what Jesus told him just hours ago. Knowing that there would be a denial. The thoughts and feelings that he had just denied, the one person he had promised to die for, the one person he had promised to lay down his life for, he had just denied him three times. And then we go through the crucifixion of Jesus. A sad, sad story where our Savior hung on a cross. But that doesn't end the story of Peter. Skip over with me to chapter 20. Chapter 20, we see Peter and other apostles and the women entering into the tomb, seeing Jesus risen from the dead. They still didn't comprehend exactly what had happened, because as we see, they just go back to their everyday lives. They go back to exactly what they had been doing before. Start reading with me in verse 4 here of chapter 20. It says, "So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes." They still, even after entering in, didn't quite understand exactly what was going on here at the resurrection. And so they just go back to living their everyday lives, as we see in John chapter 21, where Peter and the other apostles go back to the sea and they keep fishing. And they see a man far off, and they said, "Have you caught anything?" They said, "No, we've been out all night, have caught nothing." And Jesus yells back from the shore. He says, "Cast your nets down." And as soon as they cast their nets down, fish were aplenty in the nets. And it was Peter who understood who that was. Start reading with me in chapter 21, verse 7. It says, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the nets with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have just caught.' Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although they were so many, the nets were not broken. Jesus said to him, 'Come and eat breakfast.' Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. I think this is where the story gets interesting. Peter, up and down, up and down, ready to stand and die for the Lord, goes to denying the Lord. Sees the Lord resurrected, but then goes back to his everyday life. Realizing the Lord is calling to him from the shore, he wanted to be the first one there, the first one out of the boat, the first one to go see his Lord. And so he jumped out and started swimming. But what was Jesus doing on the shore? But he had started a fire of coals. Remember, I told you to remember. Peter, as he was denying Jesus, was warming himself by a fire of coals. I think it's interesting that the only times we see those words used in the New Testament are these two places. One where Peter denied Jesus. The other where Jesus was reaffirming Peter's faith in him. Had to be a reminder to Peter when he saw that coal fire, Jesus cooking food on it. Had to be a reminder of many nights ago where he denied his Lord. The smells, the sights of that coal fire, and now three denials, and Jesus three times asked, Peter, do you love me? Do you sacrificially love me? Would you give everything for me like you said so many nights ago? And Peter reaffirms his faith in Jesus, saying, Yes, Lord, I do. Three denials, three questions. And here Peter restores himself in a relationship with the Lord. And as we see, he goes on to do great and extraordinary things in the name of the Lord. The point I want to get across tonight is that we need to keep our fire and our passion burning for the Lord. I think many of us find ourselves in Peter's shoes too often, where we are so willing, so capable of going out and teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. That we want to do great things for the Lord. We'll make promises that we can't keep. And that's something I myself have done many a times. Where we want to be able to do great and awesome things for the Lord, but when it really comes down to it, the passion and the fire just isn't there. And we're exactly like Peter, denying our Lord by that coal fire. Peter had the passion. There's no doubt about that, but he let it burn out. He let himself get so confused with everything going on around him, and he didn't put his complete and whole trust in the Lord. That happens so many times with us, that we can feel fired up, we can feel ready to go, we can feel so passionate about God after a great sermon. That we can feel so passionate about Jesus after the singing that morning was wonderful, or after the gospel meeting, or after VBS, we're on what people call a spiritual high, where it feels like I will do anything for the Lord. But then we just let it fizzle out. We let it die. We get lazy. Revelation 3 puts it this way, when they're talking to the church at Laodicea, he says, You are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you would rather be hot or cold. but you are lukewarm, and so I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's a disgusting picture there in the book of Revelation. To know that there was a church that was neither hot nor cold, they were somewhere just in the middle. They had no passion, they had no zeal. They let it die out. They had just become lukewarm. They weren't doing anything. And the Lord said, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That can not only apply to us as individual Christians, but what are we doing as a church? Is this church hot in the community? When Mike prays, I appreciate, he's the only one I've heard, and if you've prayed this, I apologize, but he says, let us be a pillar of truth in this community. What have we been doing to be that pillar of truth? Or have we been the pillar of truth within this building, but outside these walls, we're lukewarm? We can be as hot as we want when we're at services. And as cold can get when we're outside these walls, you mix those two together, you have lukewarm. We need to be constantly hot. Constantly burning with the passion that Peter had for the Lord, but that he let slip away. We need to start over by letting Christ see the passion that we have for him and letting other people see the passion that we have for Christ as well. Do you have a passion for something? Many of you know mine. I don't need to bring up the name of the team that I love. And you know that it's a passion of mine. Why? Because I'm always talking about it. How many of us are that passionate about the Lord? To where when someone sees you, when they get to know you, they know that you are passionate about your Lord. Are we talking about Jesus every single day? Or are we shying away, like I said at the beginning, because we don't want to put ourselves out there for rejection? We don't want to put ourselves out there and be embarrassed because I believe in Jesus. I'm going to go out on a limb, and this might be a bold statement, but I say every time that we are embarrassed to talk about Jesus, we are just as guilty as Peter denying Jesus that night. We need to find the passion that Peter had at one point and that we can still have, that we have, and be that pillar of truth in this community. We should never be afraid to let others see that passion for Jesus. That's what Peter was worried about. He was scared for his life. And we might make an exception for Peter because, well, if he said yes, they could have killed him too. If he said, yeah, I was with the Lord, we would have never had the Peter in the New Testament that we read about in these pages because he would have been dead, he would have been gone. But that's a fate we see with many people who accepted Jesus. Lord willing, it will never get that bad in this country. But there are Christians and people out there who put their lives on the line every day because they worship Jesus. Persecutions, beatings, killings, all these things, they never stopped the early church movement in the book of Acts. That every single time someone was killed, we don't see the movement die down. What we see it do is we see it get stronger. I think of Stephen, nicknamed who? Stephen the Martyr. Someone who died for a cause. And that cause only became greater once people saw the passion and zeal that he had for the Lord. The apostles, many times, were beaten and thrown into prison. And what does Acts chapter 5 say? They considered themselves worthy to suffer shame for his name. I look at the apostles in the New Testament, and I wonder how many of us have the same passion and same zeal for the Lord that they had back then. Because I have a feeling, and I'm speaking about myself as well, I have a feeling that if someone barged through those doors and said, I am ready to kill anyone who wants to accept Jesus Christ, we would all might have second thoughts. Because now we're faced with life and death situation. But we never see that. We never see that in the book of Acts. What we see are strong, willing apostles to put their lives on the line, strong men and women for the cause of Christ. And Peter had to understand that. Jesus tells him in verse 18 of chapter 21, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." A lot of people say that that is where Jesus is telling Peter he is getting ready to go suffer some shame for his name. That there will be things in Peter's life that he's not going to like. But if he loves the Lord, he will teach and preach to all the nations. And what we also need to understand, like I said at the very beginning, is a lot of times when we think about this idea of sharing our faith, we think that I'm not good enough to do that. I'm not like the Apostle Peter, who was so great and so strong and so mighty. I'm not like the Apostle Paul, who was so knowledgeable. I'm not like Stephen, who could look at the face of the people who are about to kill him and still talk about Jesus. I'm not like this person. I'm not like this person. I've messed up more than these people. I am not qualified to be teaching the name of Jesus. There's a reason we went over Peter tonight. Because Peter is someone that I think if he were here today, we would look at him as someone who might not be qualified. Because he was someone that denied the Lord, who flat out said he never knew him. He was someone that was wishy-washy, where he wanted to be strong and bold. When it really came down to crunch time, he wasn't ready for it when the Lord was crucified. But it was Peter that Jesus chose to go be that pillar in the early church. To go be that pillar in the community. It was Paul, as we talked about this morning, who was the chief of sinners, who killed Christians, but started giving his life to the Lord. God called these people to do his work. All of us have messed up. That's the plain and simple truth. I heard the saying one time, where if we were looking for a perfect man, a perfect woman, a perfect elder, a perfect preacher, a perfect deacon, a perfect Bible class teacher, you'll never find him. You'll never find him. But what we find are people who, when they do mess up, they're ready to give their lives back to the Lord because they love Him and He loves them. What we can find are people who have using, you have a preacher that doesn't speak proper English, who have used their past experiences to further the work of the Lord's church. To use the times where they've been low and in the dumps, to use the times where they've been away from Christ, to use the times where they've been doubting and questioning. They use those times to go out and teach Christ even more, to bring more people to Jesus and to share their faith. That's our goal this year. Our goal this year is for all of us to share our faith. There's no excuse. Jesus wouldn't take it. And so, we shouldn't try to give one. I think we have great things planned for this year. Great and awesome things planned for this year on how we can continue building ourselves up, but also building the community up around us so that we can be that pillar in this community. If you're here this evening and you haven't given your life to Christ, why are you waiting? Because there's people here that have probably been in the same shoes that you are in now, who love you and who want what's best for you. And you also have a Lord who wants what's best for you as well. And that's to put on the waters of baptism and be with Him. And if you're here this evening and you've decided that your life hasn't been what it ought to be, then there's a chance here to come forward. Let us study with you, pray with you. Let's all get back on the right track so we can go share our faith together and we can share our Lord to the people who need Him most. If there's anything we can do for you, please come forward as we stand, as we sing.